Whew. The Lord just told me, he didn't just tell me, he's reminded me, that he wanted me to say something when I got up here. And that is, it's kind of a word of rebuke. I don't know who it's for, but God is sick and tired of people being apathetic. His word says to either get hot or cold, or he's going to spew out of his mouth. Amen. It's time to stop being apathetic. Amen. It might be for me. I don't know. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. But it's time to step up for the Lord. The world is making a pitch for your grandchildren, for your children, for your nieces, for your nephews, for grandsons and granddaughters. And if they can get them to believe that God's no big deal, you don't need to really go to church on Sunday, it doesn't really matter. Why, the baseball games, the Chiefs are playing on Sunday, like Pastor was talking about, or our NASCAR's on. The world, the enemy, is after your affections. And whether you know it or not, all of us have a dumb idol in our life. Amen. All of us are putting time and energy someplace that God should have. And if we don't tell our kids and our grandkids, this is from God, by the way, because I didn't have plan on saying none of this at all. If we don't tell our kids and grandkids about Jesus, about God, about the Bible, about the importance of going to church, about the importance of assembling, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, as some have done. Some of you know the rest of that scripture by heart, but you know what I'm talking about. If we don't do it, guess what? We're being apathetic and the enemy's going to win. It is as evidenced by all the school shootings. That makes me, I just want to puke. When I was in school, if you had a problem with somebody, you went to the churchyard after school and you had a fist fight. And you got done and somebody went home with the bloody nose and the other person went home, the hero, and you was friends the next day. Now they got to take a gun to school and kill one another. Why? Because parents and teachers and people in authority have become apathetic to the Word of God. We need to put great importance on coming to church, on spiritual things, on the Word of God. Amen. We need to, as Pastor says it all the time, put the word as frontless before our eyes. Paste the scripture on your refrigerator. Have it in Christian music in your car. Amen. Put wholesome stuff on your TV. Amen. Because junk in, junk out. And as far as the world's concerned, they don't want nothing to do with God. Am I speaking the truth? The church, the world don't want nothing to do with it. In fact, I mentioned last week that the United States government's now minted a coin without the words "In God We Trust" on it. And there's a campaign on Facebook to refuse it if you get it as change. Amen. God wants to say through me, to me, and to you, it's time to stop being apathetic. If that applies to you, then it applies to you. I don't apologize for it. Amen. If it don't apply to you, then God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have a Bible this morning, hold them up. Amen. If you don't have a Bible to hold up, on the shelf out there are many. Amen. Amen. Okay, open them up, please. Where are we going to start at? Open them up to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Amen. I love it when the Lord gives me a word. I have no idea. I've known for a month that I was going to preach today, and I don't know how many times I've said this, but it's like the Lord didn't give me anything really last night. And every time that happens, I think, God, why don't you give me some more time so I can prepare better? You know what he says? Because I don't want you to mess it up. Amen. 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 And I like it that way. Amen. Because I want it to be less of me and more of him. Amen. None of me and all of him. How about that? That's even better. Luke chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the law, blameless. How many times you read that and you just right over it? There was a whole lot said right there. Walking, they were both righteous before God. Amen. Jesus hadn't come here and died yet for their sins. They hadn't been made the righteousness of Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection. They were righteous, and they had the Ten Commandments to follow at this point. They were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments, there it talks about it, and ordinances of the law, blameless. But they had no child. Because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Back in ancient Israel time here, if you were a barren woman, it was considered a curse. You was looked down upon, you was scorned. It was not a good thing. And if you was a barren woman, especially an older barren woman, people talked about you probably. The Lord hasn't opened her womb. Wonder what she did to deserve that. I mean, you can hear it, can't you? And they were both advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense. And the Lord keyed me right there on his lot fell to burn incense. Have you ever thought about that? His lot fell to burn incense. He went to the temple, and his job was to burn incense. That was his job. And it said that there was like, I don't know how many priests back then. I've read it in some of the history I read. But all the priests got their turn or had to take their turn at this job, at burning incense. And I thought, God, this has got to mean something. If you find it important enough to list it in the book of Luke here that his job was to burn incense. Didn't say any of the other things the priests do. He wasn't praying for people, healing people, preaching the word. His job was to burn incense. And then I got to thinking about it and studying more about it. And burning incense was an important, vital part of the priestly ministry in ancient Israel. Amen. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, burning incense, that sweet-smelling savor, that aroma, that's important to me. And I got scripture to back it up, but I'm going to go a little farther here. You know what he said to me? He said, how do you smell to the world? How do you smell to the world? I found out these priests burnt this incense because it was as it represented the prayers of the saints being sent up to God. It was a sweet-smelling savor to God. The burning of the incense was important. Amen. We didn't have access to the God through the torn veil because Jesus hadn't paid the price yet. Amen. Only the priest could go in there and offer sacrifice for your and my sins, or their sins at the time, not ours, because we live under the new covenant. But back then, once a year, you had to go to the temple and a sacrifice had to be made for you. They had to kill an animal and shed the blood. Amen. And part of that ritual was to burn the incense, and it was the prayers of the saints being offered up to God along with the burnt offering. And it was a sweet-smelling savor to God. I got a point to make to every one of you here, even you. Do you know that God is, or somebody is watching you? Do you know that somebody sees you go to church? Somebody sees you carrying a Bible? Somebody is watching the way you act. Somebody's smelling the way you smell. You might not know it, but it's happening, I guarantee you. It's happening. Somebody's watching you. Turn your Bibles with me to Second Corinthians. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I think I'm not even going to point a finger at you. I'm going to say, I think I need to be less apathetic towards the things of God. I do. I think I need to press in harder to God. Press towards that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said he's doing. Amen. There's people, I could tell you this right now, there's people that I'm around right now, and I want this to change, but there's people that I'm around every day that probably don't know that I'm a Christian. Maybe not. I mean, there probably is, not maybe not. That ought not be so. It's not that I'm ashamed of God. I just know they don't want to hear about it. Wah. They need to hear about it anyway. Amen. It's not that I act a fool and do things I shouldn't be doing, but I'm just not lifting up God like I should be. Amen. I guess I'm the only one who's been guilty of that. Oh, okay. Whew. Whew. Chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us. What did that say? Always. Is there a time when always does not apply? Okay. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. But there's a condition there, in Christ. And through us diffuses, the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death, leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? There's a question there. Who is sufficient? The Bible just told us something here. We're a fragrance. We're being diffused. We're a fragrance of life to those who are leading to life, and death to those who don't want to believe about Jesus. And then it poses the question, who is sufficient? So I said, God, who is sufficient? Turn the page, if you have to. Go to verse 5. I had to turn the page. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but, I like to say it like Pastor David does, but, whenever time I see the word but in the Bible, I hear Pastor David's voice, but. Anybody else with me? So I'll do it. But our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as members of the new covenant. not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen. I can remember a time before I got the opportunity to come up here and minister that I felt insufficient. What am I going to say to these people? Does what I say really matter? No, not what I say, but what God says through me. And the same goes for every one of you. What you say don't matter, but what God says through you has power. And you are made sufficient. I just showed it to you in the Word right there. You are made sufficient through Christ. Amen. John chapter 5:15-5 says that He is the branches and we are the vine. With Him we can do all things, but guess what? Without Him, we can do nothing. Nothing. Amen. I thank God that God always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses. I love that word there. What's King James got right there? 2 Corinthians 2:14. And through us diffuses the fragrance. Who's got King James? Somebody read it. Oh, somebody read it out loud then. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Savor. Sweet smelling savor. The New King James that I have here says, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in Christ. When you walk around this world, when Pastor David goes to Sherwin-Williams, when I go to Johnstone Supply, when New Creations goes to a job somewhere, when there's a tree to come down, when you go to 7-Eleven or wherever you're going, the police station, wherever you work at, guess what? Christ is diffusing His fragrance through you, if you'll let Him. Amen. And guess what? To some, it's a fragrance of life, and to others, it's a fragrance of death. And I can't help but think that if it's the fragrance of death, there's going to be some people that say, God, I don't want to feel this way. I want what they got. I see something in them that I desire. Why are they always so happy? Why do they seem so happy? Why? I was talking to somebody recently. I'm not going to mention any names. And so if it was you, don't blush or look around or nobody know it was you. They was talking about money problems. Amen. And they was talking about, I work two jobs and my husband works and I just don't have enough money to pay all my bills. I just don't know what to do. And I thought I'd been there too. In fact, I could be there still. Except for the fact that the Word of God says, Pastor read it this morning, prove me in this. When you give, if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much so that you can't contain it. Amen. Amen. I don't know why it works. I don't know how it works. I just know the Word says to give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken over, run it over and shall men give into your bosom. Amen. I don't understand it all, but I don't have to understand it all. All I can do is be obedient to it. And so somebody might say, well, I just don't have money to tithe with. I don't have a job. To that, God would say, well, what money you do get, you give 10% of it. I don't care if you've got a job or not. Amen? What money you do get, you give 10% of it like the Word says. The promises are for everybody. Amen. It don't matter if it's a dime or $10,000. The promises are the same. Apply to you and me. Amen. And Pastor David didn't ask me to talk about tithes and offerings. Amen. I'm just trying to help somebody who's struggling and don't know what to do. Why? Because I've been there and done it. And if you look at my job right now and the amount of money I make per hour, I shouldn't be able to make it. I shouldn't. I got more going out than I make. But, there's that but again, but I'm a tither. I give my tithes and I give offerings and I give other things. It don't have to just be money. And my needs are always met. I don't care what. My needs are always met. Amen. That's a promise from the book of God. Amen. And guess what? As you start becoming obedient with little, you start getting increased with what you get. Amen. And when you start getting increased with what you get, you got to be careful not to eat your seed. Amen. 10% is a seed. Amen. I used to go to a church in Independence, ICC, and their envelope, tithe envelope, was called a seed envelope. You planted your seed. Amen. So you got to be careful not to eat your seed. When you get increased, don't eat your seed. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been guilty. I've done it. That's why I can say it. Amen. I got something else interesting I want to talk about. I know it's almost 1 o'clock. Amen. I'm trying to be obedient to the Lord and what He wanted me to say. Amen. And I don't mean to offend anybody. If I have, it wasn't me. It was God. Amen. So you have to talk to Him. Amen. I thought this was interesting. This is kind of a change of subject here, kind of. It got to do with the in two instances with the word or the burning of incense, the priest burning incense. And let's turn back to Luke, please. I promise it won't be much longer. I want you to see something here. Everybody there? Amen. Start at verse 8. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense. I love that. And he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Did you catch that? Everybody was outside praying during that time because the priest was sending the prayers up. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. This altar of incense was a very important, vital part. It slipped through my, or just over my head all these years. Has anybody ever thought about the altar of incense? Am I the only one that hasn't? I guess I must be, okay, I got one. Amen. Okay. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So this was another direction I kind of started to go with today's teaching, preaching, whatever. I wanted to know how many times in the Bible did God name the child? We could all think of John the Baptist. Right there, we just read it. We all can think of Jesus. An angel appeared before Jesus. In Genesis, we know that Abraham and Sarah's two sons were named. Let's go there. Genesis 16:11. By the way, the answer to my question that I couldn't come up with is 7. Only 7. But I could be wrong. I was wrong once before. No. Once I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken. Let's start at verse 9. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return." Talk about Hagar, Sarah's handmaid. Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael. I never realized before that God named Ishmael. But look what else what it says. Because the Lord has heard your affliction, he shall be a wild man. I can tell you right now that the descendants of Ishmael are the, what's the word? Yeah, Palestinians are part of it. Amen, it'll come to me. They live over in the Middle East right now, and they hated Christians. Muslims, thank you. The Muslims came as a direct descendant from Ishmael. Listen to what this says. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. Do you know the United States has spent 10 years and billions and trillions of dollars fighting this spirit right here? You know, they want to kill you. If they could walk in here with a belt of bombs on and blow it up, they'd be happy. They think they're going to die and go to heaven and have 72 virgins or something like that. Let's go on. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. Amen. Let's go to Genesis 17:19 now. Then God said, No, Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. God named both Abraham's and Sarah's children. God named Isaac, and he named Ishmael. Go, please, quickly with me to 1 Chronicles 22:9. Says, Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. This is the angel's talking about David's son, Solomon here. This King Solomon. Behold, a son shall be born to you. He shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon. For I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and so on and so forth. Please go with me quickly to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 2, starting with verse 1. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. There it is again. Then he cried out against the altar by the words of the Lord, said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priest of the high place. He burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned, so on and so forth. Amen. I've come to find out that when God names somebody, they're an important person, and they got a part to play in God's grand scheme of things. Every one of them. Next one quickly is Isaiah 45. And guess what? God may call you, and you might not be a Christian. God might call to use you or choose to use you, and you might not be saved. And I can prove it to you right here. You might say, I don't know about it. I'm scratching it. That make you want to scratch your head? It's the truth. Isaiah 45, verses 1 through 7. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel, for Jacob my sake's servant, and Israel my elect. I have called you by your name. I have named you. Though you have not known. What's it say? Me. or him. I have named you, called you, though you don't know me. It says it right there in the Bible. I am the Lord, there is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me. It says it again. That you may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I am the Lord, do all these things. Or I, the Lord, do all these things. Amen. I know for a fact God uses people that aren't Christians to speak in them. They've spoken to my life. A little kid, one of my daughters, could have been Jennifer. Years ago, I talked about how busy I was. I used to work a full-time job, and then I worked another full-time job on top of that, doing my lawn service. I used to have a lawn service. And I used to be so busy that I didn't have time to do anything. I didn't have time to go to church on Wednesday night. I squeezed in Sunday, but I didn't have time to go to events at school. I didn't have time to do this and that. And one of my daughters looked at me square in the eye and said, Dad, you got to get your priorities right. Or something to that effect. It was a shot to the heart, I tell you that. He's like, oh, my God. It wasn't some eloquent, you need to repent, you sinner, you whatever. God spoke to that little child, whichever one it was, and said, you need to get your priorities right. Ooh, okay. Isaiah, where are we at? Isaiah 45, okay. We've already talked about Luke 1:13 and Luke 1:30, which is about John and Jesus. I can only find 7 times in the Bible where God named the child. And all 7 times, they had a great and mighty work to do. Amen. But I bet if I ask you this morning right now, if God named your child, there'll be somebody here that says, yeah, God told me. Amen. Well, if that's the case, and if it follows protocol here in the Bible, that child has got great and mighty things to do, thus says the Lord. Amen. And the world's going to try to take them out. Don't let that happen. Amen. In closing, I just feel it important again to talk about the smell of the Lord. On Wednesday nights, we have potluck dinner here, and we have people come to church just because they're hungry. I have no doubt, and that's okay. It's part of it. And we are called as Christians to love those people, and part of the ministry, you'll see it up here, part of our vision is to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and so on and so forth. And I can tell you for a fact that some of the people that come on Wednesday night stink. Just to be honest, they do. Some of them need a bath. Still got to love them. And just as they stink to me because they need a bath, amen, the savor of God, the smell of God is being diffused from my life, amen, because I'm a believer in Christ. Because you're a believer in Christ, people smell you, if not in the natural and the spiritual, amen. And don't forget this, somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. I've had people tell me about it. They've told me something that I used to do, what it was, what important. But I had no idea. It floored me that they thought that about me, that they was watching me. I didn't know they was watching me like that. People are watching you. They want to see what's different about you because you go to church, you name the name of Christ, you believe in healing, you speak in tongues, you pray. Amen. You're one of them fanatical Christians, a Jesus freak, if you will. Amen. And they want to see something different about you, about your life, about your struggles. How do you handle them? Amen. Amen. When we get into this word, and we follow what it says and not be apathetic and apply it to our lives, the victory is ours. Amen. Can you say amen? Let's praise. Amen. Lord, we just give you praise and thanks this morning, God. You are a good God, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that the savor, that you diffuse the aroma of Christ through us to those around us, Lord. And Lord, not only that, but you've called us to love those that are smelly and unlovable and unlovely. Amen. Because you love them, God, and you give us the ability to do that. Lord, help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word, to be givers, Lord, to be tithers like your word tells us to, not because you need the money, amen, but because we need the blessing, because we need to be obedient, amen. And I just thank you, Lord, for the word today, and I ask your blessings to be upon each and every one in Jesus' name. And everybody said,